Thankful that you're here today and worshiping with us here, as I said, on Mother's Day. Let me say a couple things before we get started into the message in Colossians chapter 3. We'll go back to Colossians chapter 3, kind of where we left off, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. But before we get there, if you're a guest, we're thankful that you're here. As I mentioned earlier, we'd love to connect with you if you're here in person, also online. But if you're in person, we'd love to connect with you. As you leave today, if you go out these doors to my right, I'll be at that door back there. I'd love the opportunity to meet you and to thank you personally for coming and worshiping with us here at Grace Point. Also, just right out those doors is our Welcome Center. And if you go to our Welcome Center, just fill out a guest card for us. And we want to give you a gift just to personally thank you for being here and worshiping with us today here at Grace Point Church. So we would love to connect with you that way. If you're online, you can connect with us by sending the word connected to 474747. And then that is a way that we can connect with you online. You could also do that in person if you'd like to and still come by the Welcome Center. But just an opportunity for us to say thank you for being here and for worshiping with us here at Grace Point Church today. Mother's Day as we celebrate moms. Also, let me mention next Sunday is Baptism Sunday. So if you are a Christ follower, so you have received Christ as Lord and Savior, but you've never been baptized by immersion, we would love the opportunity to talk with you. There's some elders right out these doors again, this way to my left. As you walk out to the left, you'll see a baptism table there set up. You can sign up there, t-shirts there, and then elders there that can talk to you about baptism. If you have questions about that, or maybe you're uncertain, or just questions about how everything works on Baptism Sunday, we would love for you to come by there and let us talk with you a little bit more about that. GracePointDenton.com. You can also sign up online if you'd like to do that. Then last, let me just mention GracePoint 101 is also next Sunday after the third service. This is an opportunity for you to come, if you're not a covenant member, just hear more about who we are at Grace Point, our ministries, our history, our values, our staff, just who we are in helping you, we hope, as we share more information about who we are, helping you to decide where the Lord wants you to be, if this is where God wants you to be, as you pray towards a church home. And we encourage that, as you find a church family and a church home, whether it's here or whether it's somewhere else. If it's not here, we can also help you. Some of the great Bible-believing churches in this area and get you connected. We believe it's so important for you to be connected to a local church family. So we'd love for you to come. If you've not been to Grace Point 101, it's after the third service. You can sign up online, gracepointdenton.com, and you'll see a place to sign up there for Grace Point 101 online. Also, in the far back corner of our lobby as you go out is our information center. You can sign up there. And any other questions you might have for us, we'd love to talk with you about that, answer any questions you might have about Grace Point Church. Today being Mother's Day, there's two things I want to mention before we jump into the message that I think I'll connect some, certainly with moms and with Mother's Day. As I was thinking about Mother's Day and Colossians 3, the word that just kind of came back to my mind over and over again is the word kindness, to be kind. And I thought, man, as I read through Colossians 3 and new life, leaving the old life, new life, which we'll read in just a minute. This is something that, when I think about moms, I think about kindness, I think about being kind. But really for all of us to really understand what it means to live out this life of kindness and to be a kind person according to the scriptures. And so that's where we're going to land. That's what I want to talk about in just a few minutes. But two things. When I think of Mother's Day also, I think certainly we celebrate moms today. So we celebrate you for being here, thankful, as I said, online, in person. We always have a great number of people coming and worshiping with us on Mother's Day, so we're thankful for that. But I also think of those of you in all three services that Mother's Day might be hard for you. Some of you, whether you're here, whether you're watching online, it's hard because this might be the first year that you've been without your mom. So your mom may have passed this last year, and so when you think of Mother's Day, it's a tough day. So I think it's important for us to acknowledge and remember that you know, some are certainly walking through some a hard day. And so we acknowledge that today. We want to encourage you. I pray that the worship time we've had and through the teaching of the word and the community that you have here at Grace Point, that you know you're loved and valued and cared for, and we'll walk with you through that valley if indeed today is a hard day for many, I know. And then second, I know there's some who also Mother's Day is hard because they desperately want to be a mom. But the Lord has not provided that at this point yet, and so Mother's Day can be difficult. So for you, the same. We want to pray for you, encourage you as you worship, whether here or in person. I pray that the Lord speaks to you, encourages you through your time of worship and the teaching of His Word this morning and also in the days ahead. So I'm thankful that we can come together and that we open the Word. And I want to remind you just very quickly before I jump into this, that every time we open the Bible, whether it's I'm teaching here or somebody else is teaching or you have your devotional or quiet time, that every time we open the Bible, God never stops revealing to us the glory of Jesus through the Scriptures. As He does that, He is transforming us into Christ-likeness. So every time you open the Bible, every time, every Sunday morning, small group teaching, or your devotional time, or wherever you are, if someone's opened the Bible and they're teaching, or you're open and you're reading, what God is always doing is He's revealing the glory of Christ and the glory of Jesus. And through that, He is transforming you and me into that likeness. Let me give you this verse. You don't need to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "We all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord." And that's what I'm talking about. He's revealing the glory of the Lord. "Are being transformed into the same image." Talking about Christ like this, right? "From one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." So God does that. Now, very quickly, two things. The words "beholding" in that verse and "transformed" are what's called present tense in the original Greek language, which means, the reason that's important, is because that means it's an ongoing, continual action. It's not just a one-time thing. It is unto salvation, but this is talking about how then you are being transformed. So He's shaping you and me into Christ-likeness. And it's an ongoing thing. Beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed. So we come to the Scriptures, and that's why I'm saying everything in the Scriptures pointing to one that is true and greater. He is Jesus. The Bible's not a series of disconnected stories. It's a single narrative in which every story, every person is pointing to one that is true and greater. He is Jesus. So as He is revealed in the Scriptures and the glory of who He is, God's taking that and He is transforming you. He does His part. He does His work. He does that. Not what we do. It's what He does in us as we come to the Scriptures. So that's happening today as we talk about new life in Christ and what that looks like. And He's transforming you and me to look like what we're going to read here, what new life looks like. So we go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 through 10. And remember, we talked about getting our minds right, and Paul saying that in Colossians chapter 3, verses, especially verses 1 through 3. Now, as I told you, he's going to talk about how that plays out in your life and how you should behave, how you should act, what you should look like. And that's where he goes in Colossians 3, the following verse 5, after we've talked about our minds. He says this, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." And then he begins to describe it. "Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry." So put to death. So he's saying, don't mess with these things. Okay, put it to death. "On account of these, the wrath of God's coming." That's why we should. One of the reasons. "In these two," now watch this, "in these you too once walked when you were living in them." So walked and living in them means this was your life before Christ. This is your old life. And this kind of stuff, you may have been a big part of your life, maybe not, but you had the things of the flesh and of the world that were kind of ruling and running your life, and that's what you look like. You look like the world. That's your old life. "In these two you once walked." Okay, so now he's saying you're not there anymore. I'm not there anymore. "When you were living in them. But now," so this is new life, okay, and we're talking about next week about baptism and the baptism t-shirts, raised to life. So when they come up, I'll talk about this next week, but that's a new life in Christ, right? He says, "But now you must put them all away." And then he mentions anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Okay, so that's not you anymore, he's saying. That's your old life, man. You walked and lived. Doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes and slip up, but he's saying walked and lived. The implication is that was you all the time. We're once there. "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self." That's what you put off the old self, okay? With its practices, everything you did before Christ in that life that you lived. "And now have," we'll talk about this more next week, "put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." 2 Corinthians 3, which I just mentioned. All right, so you are being renewed. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect or as soon as you're saved, everything go. Right, but you're being renewed. He is transforming you into Christ-likeness. So from the old life to the new life, these things you used to do in the old life, you should not walk in those anymore. He mentions some, right? You're going to look different. Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. So people should be able to see that. They should see that old life's gone. They should see that new life in you. One of the things I want to pick up from this of new life, and I'm kind of jumping around today just because it is Mother's Day and this word kindness keeps coming back to me, and so I want to land there, and then next week we'll go back and talk in more detail about these scriptures that I just read, old life and new life. But when we talk about new life, one of the things that we know is present in our new life should be is kindness. That we as believers in Christ, as Christ followers, we should be kind people. So when we think about kindness in this word, it means loving affection, sympathy, friendliness, patience, pleasantness, gentleness, and goodness. Kindness is a quality shown in the way a person speaks and the way a person acts. It is more volitional than it is emotional. It is the disposition of your mind. Colossians 3, last week, verse 2. It's the disposition of your mind which thinks as much of its neighbor, of other people, as you do yourself. So that's what kindness, when God is working kindness in your heart and transforming you into that, a kind person, you've then learned this and gotten this understanding, this secret, if you will, of looking outward more than you do inward. So when we think about Jesus, we think of his power, I do, and of his passion, and I preach on that, and of his devotion, of his commitment, of his sacrifice, and all those things are in the scriptures, they need to be preached on, no question about that. But those who knew him, who knew Jesus, those who walked with him, and we as through the scriptures, and know God, we know that he comes covered in kindness. I'm going to show you that this morning. And so if we are being transformed into the image of Christ likeness, then we too, it should characterize us. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. Psalm chapter 63, verse 3, David says, your loving kindness is better than life. Talking about God, kindness, your loving kindness is better than life. Back in the 80s and 90s, some of you know this, others, it's new to you, but back in the 80s and 90s, there used to be these things called VHS tapes. Videotapes. And when our kids were little, we would go to, sometimes on a Friday night, we would go to the video store. And you walk up and down the aisles, and they have these, in the cases, they have the videos, and then they have the title of the movie on the front, you know, so you could see what you're picking. And then you take that to the counter there, and then they get the movie, the video, and they put it in there, right? And they give it to you, and you go home, and you put your video in this thing that was called a VCR. And then you play the VHS tape. So one of the things, and if you did that, you may have went to a place called Blockbuster, right? That was back in the day. I don't even know if they still have them. So one of the things on Blockbuster, I'm going to show you on this screen, is this became like a theme. This is, they really stepped down on this hard, man. This whole be kind and rewind thing, right? It was like a big deal. They always want, matter of fact, so that was part of it. Then they also put it on, look at that, on the tape, right? So when it pops out, you see that. Be kind, which is what we're talking about today. Please rewind. They even took it to another level. Showed the next. They put it on T-shirts. Come on. I mean, they were serious about rewinding your tape. As a matter of fact, if you didn't do it, then they started charging you. Because I guess putting it in the machine and having to rewind was pretty stressful. So they're gonna charge you. I know if there's 100 tapes, it takes a long time. So they be kind and rewind, right? So they went all in on be kind and rewind. Now, here's the way I'm saying that. To us, really, it is. I mean, it's a small thing, right? It shouldn't be that big of a deal. But here's what we know, not from Blockbuster, but just from the scriptures, I think, and from living in this world today. Small acts of kindness today go a really long way. You know why? Because not many people do it. Not many people do it. If you're a parent, talking about Mother's Day and little ones, I mean, teach your boys, your young boys, to hold the door open for someone walking behind them when you go out of Target or Walmart and see what kind of reaction you get. We've done that. It's pretty dramatic. And they always say, oh, wow, nobody's done that. Or even us as men, I mean, be kind to your wife. Hold the door open for her. Hold the door open for people. But these small acts of kindness, you just don't see them much anymore. And so when we do those, it kind of stands out. I said, it might have been last year. I can't remember exactly when I said it, but I wrote it down in one of my messages in the past, talking about this. I said, whenever possible, be kind. It's always possible. Whenever possible, be kind. It's always possible. So today I want to share just with you three things, fairly quickly, three things, three takeaways to, I hope, start you thinking about this. Some of you, maybe you're kind of already there. Man, that's on your mind and heart. And people would describe, let me just ask you this, rhetorical question. Would people describe you as a kind person? And they're a kind-hearted person. They're kind. Some might be there. Others, we got work to do. And so all of us, though, this should be on our hearts and on our minds. And let God, as we open up the scriptures, he speaks to us about this very issue. So takeaway number one is this. If you're taking notes, kindness is something that the Holy Spirit, ultimately, I think the Holy Spirit produces in us. So I think ultimately that's what's happening. Kindness is something that the Holy Spirit produces in us. So I take you to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Now, we could say, I know lost people, and I do, and you probably do too. People that don't know the Lord, and they're kind. Holy Spirit's not producing that in their life. Well, certainly. I mean, you don't have to be saved to be kind. But I would argue that to have a lifestyle of kindness, and I'm going to show you here, as Jesus did, you will agree with me once I show you the scriptures, that takes the Holy Spirit producing it in us, with this, the idea being, and we'll talk about it in just a minute more, but it's not hard to be kind to people that are kind to you or people that you like. But how about being kind to those that are unkind to you? That, you would agree, takeaway number one, the Holy Spirit's going to need to produce that in me. That's harder to do, isn't it? And that's so when it happens, that's just a manifestation, man, of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Because the world would say, nuh-uh. And that's the difference now. Is the world would draw the line and say, I'll be kind when people appreciate it and they're kind to me. But when it's not people who are not kind to me, then that's what separates us from the believer. So when Paul laid out his case to the church in Corinth that he was an apostle and he was saying to them that, you know, he truly was a Christ follower and he was an apostle, he detailed a lot of things. And one of the things you'll notice is that he talked about kindness. Let me just read this verse to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. He says, we put no obstacles. This is Paul talking to the church of Corinth saying, yes, I was an apostle. We put no obstacles in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance, afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, and kindness, the Holy Spirit, and genuine love. So look, Paul, the context of this is Paul saying, yes, I'm a true apostle. In Colossians 3, when he says, they should see the new life. He's saying, you see, I'm a kindness. So he's saying, that's a mark of an apostle, that I am a Christ follower. So true kindness is produced by the Holy Spirit. It's not circumstantially sensitive. In other words, depending on the circumstances, I'll determine if I'm going to do something kind or if I'm going to say something kind to them. But that's how the world does it. We as believers pray the Holy Spirit empowers us, transforms us into Christ's likeness, which means I'm kind across the board. Romans 2, verse 4. This is what I'm talking about, how God sees us and Jesus sees. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that, now watch this, that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. So the implication of that is they're enemies with God. And so God is kind towards them. And his kindness towards them then leads them to repentance. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus, but love your enemies and do good and lend. Expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. That's why we need Jesus. That's why I say to you, if that's going to be produced in you and me in the midst of the ungrateful and the evil, that's going to have to come from the Holy Spirit. And that's why I make that statement, that ultimately this lifestyle of kindness, this Christ-likeness of kindness is produced in us through the Holy Spirit. Just we see it as God, as how he relates to those who are enemies of him and against him. Proverbs 21:21, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life. Righteousness and honor. So we open ourselves up then. What we're going to do is open ourselves up to the work of the Holy Spirit this week, that God would begin to transform, he'd begin to work in me, that the fruit of the Spirit of kindness would be produced in me, not just a fleeting thing, beginning point perhaps today, and create this lifestyle of kindness, which is very Christ-like. I read an article about this non-Christian girl, and she was writing, and she said her impression, she did this article, she said her impression of evangelical Christians was that they were poor thinkers, judgmental, scornful, and afraid of diversity. So this was an article that she was writing. So she publishes a critique of an evangelical Christian group in her local newspaper, citing these things about Christians, and she says in response, I received an enormous volume of polarized responses. She said, I placed an empty box in each corner of my desk, and then I sorted hate mail into one and fan mail into the other. She says, I received a 2-page response from a local pastor. She says, quote, it was a kind and inquiring letter. Kind and inquiring letter. She says it had warmth and civility to it in addition to its probing questions. She says, I couldn't figure out which box to put the letter in, so it sat on my desk for 7 days. She said it was the kindest letter of opposition I had ever received. So, not time to dwell, certainly, but this is what I've shared with you before, that as Christians, we need to get to this place, and we all blow it at times, but we need to be able to agree to disagree and still love one another. Amen? Whether that's with other believers in Christ or whether that's with people who don't believe as you do. We can agree to disagree, but we can do it in a loving, kind way, like here. She says it was the kindest letter of opposition I'd ever received. His tone demonstrated that he wasn't attacking me. Eventually, she contacts the pastor. She becomes friends with him and his wife, and she says this, and I quote, and I put it on your bulletin. They talked with me in a way that didn't make me feel erased. That's kindness, man. And she goes on to say, our friendship was an important part of my journey to faith in Christ. It starts with kindness. You see the power of it? Man, the power of kindness. It's produced by the Holy Spirit in us. Takeaway number two, our kindness reflects the heart of God and points people to him. Our kindness, as we are kind to others, reflects, I think, the heart of God and ultimately points people to him, which is what we want to do. It's not about drawing people to ourselves. We're not kind because we want to draw people to ourselves. We're kind because we know God's produced that in us and we want to point people to him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. So last Saturday night, a week ago Saturday night, our youngest, Garrett, got married. And I did the wedding ceremony as I was standing there before him and his now wife.
I shared with him about Genesis 2, a man shall leave his mother and his father and cleave to his wife, become one flesh. That's foundational. It's needed, no question. Well, I talked a little bit about Ephesians 5. Over Ephesians 5, it describes the husband's role and the wife's role in a marriage relationship. I think that's super important too. No question about that. But then I said to them after that, I said, now, those are important. But I'm going to tell you that one of the most important verses in your marriage, in your married life, will be Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another. Just be kind to each other, man. Be kind. He goes on tenderhearted, and then Paul mentions a manifestation, an action of that, which is forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you, foundational why we do that. Right, so that whole thing lays out beautifully. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. And when you're that way, one of the things that's manifested is forgiving one another as Christ, God in Christ, forgave you. Now, look. I don't have time, so I have to move on from this. But notice he doesn't leave you at the behavioral level, right? It's not just be kind. He says be kind to one another, tenderhearted. So that one is where you bracket and kind of circle and underline it. Is what he's telling us, tenderhearted, is it flows from your heart, right? It flows from your heart. And that heart has to be right before God. And that heart is right before God when you go on and understand that God in Christ forgave you. So then that puts your heart in the right place so you can then manifest kindness to each other in your married life. I think that's just huge, you know, being kind to one another. I see that so often, you know, people, can be that way initially, but certainly as life goes on in married life, that people just stop being kind to each other, husband and wife, and that's not Christ-like. That's not of God. And so we want to recognize our kindness reflects the heart of God, and ultimately it points people to him. That flows from the tender heart of terms of us being kind to one another. And I do think that the kindness should start in the home. There shouldn't be a duplicity to where I come here and I'm nice and kind to everybody, all of you, and to others, you know, but then when I get home, I don't treat my wife with kindness, or I'm not kind to my children, or that's not how, that's duplicity. That's not of God. I mean, that is not what God calls us to. And sometimes, you know, I mean, sometimes it just seems like people are nicer and kinder to strangers they've met at the store than they are to their husband or wife or kids. Should not be that way. It starts in our home. It starts from the Holy Spirit doing his work and transforming us. Kindness, it's powerful. Let me finish. Kindness number three. Take one number three. Kindness involves words and actions. Okay, what I say and what I do. So I'm going to jump to the end, skip over some things just for time's sake, and let me bring this thing to a close. So I was thinking this week about how can I engage you as a church with acts of kindness this week to kind of sometime maybe even prime the pump or get us started thinking that direction, you know, and then do what the scriptures say. You know, it's certainly powerful through words. So when I talk about action, it's not just action. It's certainly both, okay? So even with our words, you know, maybe we start there. Just be kinder with your words. You know, say kind things to people. It has great power, more than you realize. And then action. How can we do kind things, and what kind things could we do? And so it came to me. I thought, it was the word give. I thought, let's give. We need to give as an act of kindness. And so I've said to you before, and I still believe, you know, God has been so good to Grace Point Church. It's been incredible the way this last year, through the COVID thing, and year and a half, and just in every way. And where people are, you know, almost everybody's starting to come back, and we're having more guests than we've had. And even before COVID, and it's just been, and financially, you've been giving. And God has been blessing in ways historically that we haven't even experienced here at Grace Point. So it's been amazing what God is doing. So with that thought in my mind, I thought, well, then we need to give. We need to give away because it all belongs to God anyway, right? So here's what we're going to do today, just to engage you and encourage you this week to, just in a small way, to kind of prime the pump and get us to be thinking about acts of kindness. So When you leave today, out one of these two doors, go out one of these two doors if you want to be a part of this. I'm going to be at this back door just greeting you. I'd love to meet you if you haven't, if I haven't had the opportunity. I'll be at this back door, and then outside of me and outside this door here, there'll be some elders and ushers there. And every person who leaves today is going to get an envelope. And on the front of that envelope is Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and tenderhearted. And inside every single envelope is a $20 bill. So after, by the course of the end of the third service, we will have given away $8,000 today to our church family. So every person who goes out that door is going to get an envelope. It's got $20 in there. Okay, now, the $20 is for you to give away to somebody else. Don't go eat lunch on Grace Point, okay? Because you're going to get sick afterwards. You're going to feel convicted. It's going to be a bad afternoon for you. Don't call me, all right? Then you're going to have to give 40 away just to get back to feeling normal, all right? So don't do that. So take that 20, and then here's what I encourage you to do, is open your mind this week to those kind acts and kind opportunities. I'm telling you, if you will do that, God is going to show you exactly what you're supposed to do with that. It may be right at that time. It may be right at that time. And then just be creative. Look, you don't even say it's from, I'm not saying you need to say it's from Grace Point or your church did that. No strings attached. It's not a marketing campaign. That's why I did not post it on Facebook, because if I said $20, we'd have 2,000 people here today. So it's not, I'm not giving you $20 in love and hear me as your pastor, right? And it's not a marketing thing. It's you just giving it away. No strings attached. Let's just give as God has given to us. Amen? In big ways he's given. And hopefully you can say that to you personally too. Like, I know we can. Like, God has blessed me with so much. And it's just a small act of kindness. So let me make a couple statements on that. Two things. Number one, first of all, remember when you give, remember the motive that you're giving is because God has ultimately given to us in Christ, which I'm going to finish with. And then in practical ways, he's blessed us and he's given to us. Here's a church. And so we want to give. We want to give away. So remember that's your motive. So as you give, so a friend of mine, for instance, a friend of mine was telling me about a situation where he gave, and he was goes to this donut shop, and it's kind of early, and there's a girl who works there, probably a daughter, maybe the owner, but she just works. And so he said he drove through there, it was a drive-thru, and he just ordered like two donuts, just like, you know, $1.50 something, and he had a 20 in his hand. And he thought, you know what? I'm just going to give this girl. She seems so sweet. She works so hard. I'm going to give her this 20 and tell her to keep the change, you know? And so he said, she hands him the donuts, and he hands her the 20, and he says, hey, she starts to get, he said, no. He said, you just keep the change. And he said, she looked at him and said, are you kidding me? He goes, no, just keep the change. He said, she started crying. And she started saying, I've just had a hard week, you know? Thank you so much, you know, and he was, I just want to bless you, you know, and then drove off. Now, I say that to say this, sometimes it's not the $20, sometimes it's the act of kindness that you thought of them. And that's probably a little bit of what was going on there. Hard week, hard day, who knows what people have gone through, small acts of kindness go a long way. Words, long way. It's powerful. Now, that being said, let me tell you another situation, and it's 10:30, so I've got about a negative 2 minutes now. So it might be, or another situation of somebody who would pulled up, didn't do the same thing, ordered like a soft drink, you know. I'm not going to say where it was, but they have happy hour and they're on roller skates. But so... pulls up there and gets a drink, and he's thinking he's going to do the same thing. So it's like $1.50, and so he gives the girl a 20, and he tells her to keep the change, you know? And he's waiting for this because he's waiting for this while, and she goes, oh, thanks, and skates off. And he was like, wait a minute now, hold on, right? Like we were looking for, but then he quickly realized, No, wait a minute. God's convicting me of that. I'm not giving to get a response. I'm giving to give, right? So don't set yourself up. Don't set yourself up. Yes. Checked off because you gave away 20 and they weren't appreciative of it. You know what I'm saying?
That misses the whole point of this.
So learn that we're giving because God has given us, and we want to do acts of kindness. And I'm confident that you're obedient to the scriptures. So anytime you're obedient to the scriptures, God's going to bless them, right? And you too. So recognize, and then I hope that this is not just a one-time act, that all of us, myself included, that God uses these small things to help us to be thinking in more ways. You know, how can we live a life of kindness? And if you get nothing else, I would encourage you to just to remember that starts in your home. Without money, with words, and with actions. Okay, let's stand together and pray. Let's pray together. So thankful for you being here today and so gracious, and just our time together is just goes fast always, but it's a good thing. And the Lord, I pray, is blessing. So we're praying together this morning. I'm just praying for you. I want to just pray, you know, God's blessing and kindness over you. Father, I pray that for these people here today, especially for these moms, but we celebrate them. Just thankful. I think of moms, I think of kindness. When I think of kindness, I think of you, God, and Jesus. And so we know in our own strength, we miss the mark, and we're not perfect, but God, we pray you empower us and transform us into the likeness of Jesus for your glory. Your glory. So take what you've given us today, and even as we go, Lord, may you bless a hundredfold as we give. And through that process, we're acknowledging that you're the giver of all good gifts, and especially Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. The ultimate act of kindness God gave us, Jesus. And we are thankful for you today, Father, and for Jesus. It's in his name we pray these things.